Now, we're going to start back with Quanta, partly because I hadn't read this case in a long time, and I want to make sure that we've all got the same framework, and I don't know how many people have read this in the recent past. This is a 2008 case, Quanta Computer versus LG Electronics, so it's 10 years ago now. But in that case, LGE entered into a license agreement with Intel that authorized Intel to manufacture and sell microprocessors and chipsets. The license agreement did not purport to alter patent exhaustion rules. Now, there was a separate agreement. This is kind of the key part. There was the separate agreement that required Intel to give its customers written notice that the LGE license did not extend to a product made by combining a licensed Intel product with a non-licensed Intel product. So then we move forward, and we've got Quanta. Quanta purchased microprocessors and chipsets from Intel and used them to manufacture computers using licensed Intel products in combination with the non-licensed Intel products. Quanta did not modify the Intel products at all. LGE, of course, sued Quanta for patent infringement. Now, the Supreme Court first addressed two kind of threshold questions. First, whether patent exhaustion applies to method claims, and second, the extent to which a product must embody a patent to trigger exhaustion. The court first rejected LGE's argument that method claims as a category are never exhaustible, so that was off the table. And as for the second question, the court found that the only reasonable and intended use of the licensed Intel products was to practice the patent, and that they embodied essential features of the patented invention. So having answered those questions, the court turned to whether LGE exhausted its patent rights when it entered the license with Intel. Now first, the court said that exhaustion is true only by a sale authorized by the patent holder, and I've got that in italics because that's, of course, the key. Was the sale authorized by the patent holder? And to determine whether Intel sales to Quanta were authorized, the court looked to the license agreement. In the actual license agreement, there was no restriction on Intel's right to sell licensed microprocessors and chipsets to purchasers who intended to combine them. The license agreement broadly permitted Intel to make, use, or sell licensed products. But that's where that second agreement comes in. There was a master agreement with the notice provision. But neither party contended that Intel breached that provision, and it wasn't included in the license agreement. So the court held that the license agreement authorized Intel to sell products that practiced LGE's patents with no limiting conditions. Because Intel was authorized to sell its products to Quanta, the doctrine of patent exhaustion applied. LGE could not further assert patent rights with respect to the patents substantially embodied by those products. Under the patent laws, right? I mean, we've still got that master agreement, so somebody could have sued under that. But then we move forward and we've got Lexmark, which was last summer. Lexmark sold toner cartridges for printers. And it gave consumers two options. You could buy a toner cartridge at full price with no restrictions, or you could buy a cartridge at a discount through Lexmark's return program. Customers who bought through the return program agreed to use the cartridge only once and to refrain from transferring the cartridge to anyone but Lexmark. Impression Products, of course, goes and acquires the empty Lexmark toner cartridges, including those return program cartridges that it wasn't supposed to have access to, from purchasers both in the United States and overseas. So Lexmark sues. And we broke those toner cartridges into two categories. The return program cartridges that Lexmark sold within the US and that Impression Products then resold, and then all toner cartridges that Lexmark had sold abroad and that Lexmark and the Impression Products then imported and refurbished for resale. Now, with respect to that first group of products, the return program cartridges, Lexmark argued that because it expressly prohibited reuse and resale of these cartridges, Impression Products infringed the Lexmark patents when it refurbished and resold them. Relying on Quanta, the Supreme Court reaffirmed the long-held principle that even when a patentee sells an item under an express, otherwise lawful restriction, the patentee does not retain patent rights in that product. Lexmark could not bring a patent infringement suit against Impression Products with respect to the return program cartridges sold in the U.S. because once Lexmark sold the cartridges, it exhausted its right to control them through the patent laws. Again, that's through the patent laws. Could Lexmark had sued everybody who sold their cartridges to Impression Products for breach of contract? Probably, but that would not have been as clean of a lawsuit, right? Now, as for the cartridges sold abroad, Lexmark alleged that Impression Products infringed Lexmark's patents when it imported those cartridges without authority, when it brought them back into the U.S. without authority. But following the Kersing versus John Wiley Price, not John Wiley Price, John Wiley Sons, Inc. Copyright case, the court held that the overseas sale of the cartridges exhausted Lexmark's patent rights, and that was a done deal. For purposes of patent exhaustion, restrictions and location are irrelevant. What matters is the patentee's decision to make the sale.